The Old Testament reading for this, the last Sunday of the church year, comes from the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you.
In whose heart are the highways to Zion.
The epistle reading comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel serves as the text for our sermon this morning. According to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever gone somewhere where people had prepared for your arrival, like really prepared for it? You know, maybe you went to a convention, and as you got to the registration table, there was a packet of information and a pen and a notepad and a name tag that you will invariably forget to take off when you go out to eat that evening. They were ready for you. Or maybe you go to one of those really nice hotels and get into the room and there's a little chocolate sitting on your pillow. And you know, oh, they do that for everybody, but it just makes you feel special. They welcomed me. They were prepared. You hear about resorts, even whole towns, making huge plans for the arrival of a celebrity or some international figure. They stock specific things that that person likes. They take away all the things that person doesn't like. They change everything around to fit the wants and desires of this very important guest. Well, maybe with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, you're experiencing this firsthand. Maybe you have company coming, and you're getting the ingredients together for all their favorite foods, straightening up the guest bedroom, making sure everything is just right. Or if you're headed somewhere, is someone doing the same for you? Making the stuffing just the way you like it, getting out some of your favorite things from the past, just fussing and fretting to make sure that everything is just the way that you would like it to be. Making all those preparations that you appreciate so much. In our reading from Matthew today, we hear about Jesus' return as he comes to judge the living and the dead. And normally when we hear these texts, we focus on how we should prepare for his arrival. We hear about how he will come like a thief in the night, how the cry will go up that the bridegroom is near when we least expect it, how he will return like a king unexpectedly after a very long trip. As we hear all these things, we usually focus on how he could return at any time, and how we need to be prepared, how we need to be living in his word and ready for his return. Today, though, we're actually going to look at things a little bit differently. Now, certainly, we need to be prepared for the arrival of our Lord. We need to live out the faith that he has so graciously given us. We need to proclaim God's word so that others, too, can be ready. All of that is important. There is no question about that. But today, we're looking at something that's actually even more important. Instead of looking at the plans that we make for when Jesus arrives, we're looking at the plans that Jesus made for when we arrive. Now, that's kind of an amazing thought, isn't it? To those at his right hand on Judgment Day, to those faithful sheep, those who believe in his word, Jesus says this: inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Is that amazing or what? Before Jesus made the heavens and the earth, he already had you in mind. You, personally. Not just everyone, not just all the flock of sheep, but you. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus prepared a kingdom for you. And through his word today and always, Jesus comes to you with that repeated promise to give you comfort and assurance, even at the end of days. Now, most people find a discussion about the end of the world to be very frightening. A lot of people are filled with terror at the thought that this world is coming to an end. Global warming alarmists, movies with asteroids hitting the earth, nuclear holocaust, thoughts of disease and pandemic, or even man-made terrors wiping out mankind. Those are scary thoughts for a lot of people. And, of course, the ever-present fear of our own death is a little bit terrifying. Because death is the end. Death is an unknown. Death is something that happens to us all, but we don't know when. And so, talking about the end can be scary for a lot of people. And as frightening as all these things might be, as alarmed as everybody might be about things, the sad fact is they're not worried about the most frightening prospect of all in most cases. At the end of the world, Jesus Christ, and He alone, will sit in judgment over all mankind. He will sit and separate the sheep from the goats, not by what culture says, not by what the majority says, not by what we feel, or even by what we've done. He will judge by His holy and unquestionable law, and by no other standard. We will not be judged by what we've done, as some might say looking at this reading, because our deeds, they can't save us. Instead, the deeds that we do, they simply reflect the faith that has been worked in our hearts. The deeds, those are visible to all people, but the faith is visible to God. And that is how we are judged. Faith in the true words of Jesus Christ. Despite the world's adamant claims to the contrary, Jesus Christ will judge us all by that one standard. There's a song lyric that puts it so very well. It says simply, "Judgment will not be avoided by your unbelief." And all those who deny His return, those who deny that He will ever sit in judgment over them, those who deny His existence, they have the most to fear on that day. And honestly, if we're looking to our deeds for that day, we should fear it as well. Because God's word clearly shows us that we have failed in our holy deeds. We sin daily, continually, breaking God's holy law, transgressing His word. And if we have broken it even once, God's word assures us we have broken it entirely. God's standard is perfection, sinlessness. Heaven is a sinless, unblemished paradise, and not a speck of sin is allowed in. And so we, who are by nature sinful and unclean, we are unacceptable. And so if we look to our own lives, we know that we deserve nothing but judgment, condemnation, and eternal death. And if that's our only hope, if that's where we are looking for assurance, then the last day is indeed a day to be terrified of. But here's the good news. Punishment and condemnation, that was not prepared for people from the foundation of the world. Jesus came to save all mankind. He did not die just to save a handful of the really good. He did not come just for those who were already without sin. But Jesus came to save all people. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, Christ died for sins once for all. John chapter 1, John the Baptist proclaims, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And of course, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. The free gift of faith, of grace, of heaven itself, it is for all people. God's word is for all people. Jesus' death and resurrection, it was for the sins of the entire world. His holy sacrifice was sufficient to pay the price for all. And that is what God has prepared for all mankind. That is His desire for all people. The place of eternal punishment, that was prepared not for people, but for the devil and his angels, those who rebelled without hope of any redemption. It was prepared as a punishment for their unforgivable rebellion against God, for their flagrant coup attempt to take over and put themselves in God's place. It was not meant for people. But sadly, those who reject God's grace and forgiveness, they condemn themselves to that punishment. You see, God is not a tyrant. He's not a kidnapper. God does not force us to love him. If people do not want to be in the presence of God during this life, God does not force them to be in his presence for all eternity. His love is so great that even though it pains him, even though he has already paid the price in full, God lets unbelievers have the punishment that they think is better than eternal life. God does not keep us in a cage. He does not force us to love him. And if we prefer his eternal wrath, he allows us to walk away from him, to place ourselves beneath his wrath and condemnation. But this is not his desire. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is why Christians can eagerly anticipate Jesus' return, because we have been given the truth, the one truth, the only truth that matters in the end. We look forward to that day of judgment because we know with confidence that we will enter into his heavenly kingdom. Not because of our preparations, but because of the preparations that Jesus has made for us. You know, along with many of Jesus' other teachings about the last day, our gospel reading today comes just days before his death on the cross. His betrayal, his arrest, his torture, his death, his resurrection. All of that had been planned, prepared by God from the foundation of the world. When God created the world, he knew full well that we would sin against him, that we would rebel, that we would despise him and his word. He knew the price that it would cost to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. And he willingly, lovingly set in motion the plan to pay that price in full. From the beginning, Jesus Christ was set to sacrifice himself for you. By his death, by the resurrection that he has done, Jesus Christ prepared and won his kingdom for you. He opened the gates of heaven for you. He ascended to prepare a place for you, and he knows your needs and desires even better than you yourselves do. By paying the full price for the sins of the entire world on the cross, paying the full penalty for you with his blood. By washing you clean with his holy blood, given and shed for you. By joining you into his death and his resurrection through the waters of baptism. All these things Jesus has done to prepare his kingdom, to prepare you for his kingdom, to make you his own. In his death and his resurrection, Jesus Christ paid the price of all of your sin, proclaiming you holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of God, so that on judgment day you can stand before him in firm confidence and plead the blood of Christ and say, I am clothed in his righteousness. I am his. You have been given the holiness of Jesus Christ. Every act of love that Jesus has done is accounted to you, is credited to you to make you perfect. Feeding the hungry, giving a drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and those in prison, all these things that Jesus did, all his good works are given to you. Notice here on Judgment Day, the righteous don't even remember doing these things. We're not keeping score. As Christians, we don't have our notebook and say, well, we helped one old lady across the street today, so there's 5 points for me. I'm that much closer to heaven now. No, we don't even realize we're doing it. It's simply our nature to do these things as a new creation in Christ. The faith that he has worked in us flows naturally out into the good works that we do for our neighbor. And since we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the kingdom that he has prepared from the foundation of the world, it is ours. And it is a kingdom of perfection and peace. A kingdom ruled perfectly and in love by God himself. A kingdom where we will gather together with all believers throughout all time, singing out the Lord's praise for all eternity. And it is a kingdom prepared for us, given to us by the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord, He will come again. And when He does, the whole world will know it. It will indeed be a fearsome day, a day of terror and horror for those who do not believe. But we as Christians, we need not fear His return. Christ has forgiven all of our sins. By the grace of God, we know that we will stand at His right hand. God's word assures us of that over and over and over again. You will receive the kingdom, for He has prepared it for you. That kingdom has been prepared from the foundation of the earth, for God so loved the world. But more importantly, God so loved you. He planned your salvation. He prepared a place for you in heaven, and He has made everything perfect in His kingdom for you. You are His very important guest, His beloved child, welcomed home after being away for so long. The Lord has waited a long time to receive you into His kingdom, to welcome you into His holy paradise. His preparations were intense, shedding His blood, suffering for your sin, dying in your place, defeating death and the devil, and rising to new life. But out of love for you, He willingly made all those preparations. And He will come again to carry you in His loving arms to that kingdom He has prepared for you. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. He died for you, and He will come again for you. By His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.